بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
سيدنا محمد النور وآله وكل معه.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you for inviting me today. I want to especially thank the organizers, Mr. Razi, Ali Ghari. They've done a wonderful job really showing how the youth can really be very professional and very succinct in their ways of approaching the community. I'm honored to be here, but especially humbled in front of this youth and the elders that are present and students of knowledge who have more knowledge than myself. But today I want to talk to you quickly about context, about being aware of the social and political context in which we are trying to establish the community. I did my master's in Western political philosophy, and so maybe if I get a little bit too ideological, forgive me, but I think it's very important that we get to know the precise nature of what is demanded from us from the society we live in order to engage it. I want to draw your attention to two recent current events that took place in the public sphere. One, I think you all must be aware of, which is on May 20th, they had the Draw Muhammad Day, which took place all across the internet and blog spheres and newspapers. And the other one, I just read recently, which is the Leaving Islam campaign that took place on the New York bus systems. A month-long campaign that started, I think, last week, that is supposed to give refuge to Muslims leaving Islam. And both of these highlight a limit on the kind of debate around Islam in the public sphere. One comes from the left, which was the Draw Muhammad Day, in which cartoonists, artists, columnists, bloggers came around to establish what they call free speech, freedom of speech. And on the other end was from the right, which was a way in which to give Muslims the right to dissent from their religion, right? Freedom of religion. Both of these motivated from both extremes of the political spectrum. What I'm trying to say is that what this shares is an understanding of freedom, right? A freedom of speech and a freedom of religion. And both of these share a common conceptual frame, which is freedom. And so what I'm trying to hint at is that what is being demanded of Islam in the public sphere from the society around us is interpreting and implementing a certain kind of understanding of freedom, liberty, which is known in philosophical circles as liberalism. And I don't mean liberalism and say that it's used in the vernacular. I mean it in terms of Western liberal democracies in which the society, an open society, a progressive society, a multicultural society, tries to implement a certain contextual and historical understanding of liberty. Now, both of these ideas mark two other spots in Islamic thought, which is the freedom of speech is supposed to target the idea of blasphemy, right? So the Draw Muhammad Day was contrary to Muslim sentiments because Muslims thought, most Muslims, not all, but a certain interpretation, thought that the drawing of the honorable face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blasphemous. Was blasphemy. And there's another contingent of a certain interpretation of Islam, which sees that the descent from Islam, turning away from Islam after you've accepted it, as being problematic for the community, the borders of the community, which is called apostasy. Now both of these mark not really a discussion with Islam itself, but what I want to propose is that this is a discussion that Muslims are caught up in. It's a really intra-Western debate about how we approach tradition and religion. And these debates have started not now, but during the Reformation, right, 500 years ago in the continent of Europe, where men started to challenge their own religion. And ever since then, tradition and culture has been problematic in the Western context. And I don't mean just for Muslims, but, you know, the American Indians had to lose their tradition to buy in. You know, African Americans had to lose their tradition of ayin, and Jews had to reformulate their tradition of ayin. And again, now with the new wave of immigrants in the West, the same question is being posed: how much are you willing to sell before you buy in? And so, the concept of liberalism, of liberty, is at the heart of the debate about what is being demanded of us in this social context. And what I want to talk about is that we need to take account of what are we willing to compromise on the issue. And it's a very important discussion to be had. There's a very famous philosopher by the name of Will Kimmicka. He's a student of John Rawls, who is one of the foremost theorists on the theory of justice. He has advocated a certain understanding of liberalism, which has been implemented in the constitutions of Canada and across the European nations. So he's very influential in policy. He defends a certain understanding of tolerance that he writes, historically, in the sense of tradition, as liberals have believed in a very specific notion of tolerance. I think historically, liberals have believed in a certain interpretation of tolerance, which is one that involves freedom of conscience. Liberal tolerance protects the right of individuals to dissent from their group. It limits the power of illiberal groups to restrict the liberty of their own members. What does this mean, really? And you have to really focus on the words. What is he trying to say? He's trying to defend a certain tradition from Europe, and of Western Europe, that defends the right of people to overthrow religious authority and challenge it in any which way they feel is correct. And so this is very problematic for traditions and cultures. It's very hard to sustain tradition and culture in a society which constantly promotes overthrowing religious authority in order to promote individual self-interest. Right? And he writes, "This, I think, liberals have historically seen autonomy and tolerance as two sides of the same coin." Okay, so what I want to ask is, what does he mean when he says autonomy and tolerance are parts of two sides of the same coin? Okay, why should tolerance, right? Why should we tolerate groups only if they believe in autonomy as a principle? Meaning what we see here is a limit again, the limit that I talked about, either from the right or from the left, you know, that limit is autonomy, a certain understanding of freedom, of liberty, of liberalism, right? And I have some more to say, but I'm going to try to hurry up and get through this. The limits ossify around what ultimately grounds the virtue of tolerance. So why I bring up tolerance is because many people participate in the public debate around the place of Muslims in this community, establishing a community, a minority community in America. And they do it under the veneer or the fog of multiculturalism, which is that there is a certain sphere in America that allows for a certain kind of tolerance, but we all are too aware of the fact of how hypocritical the understanding of that tolerance is. And so I'm trying to understand within the Western canon what makes it hypocritical. And what makes that understanding of tolerance hypocritical is that it has a limit, both from the left and both from the right, which is a certain understanding of liberty. And it's because that notion of tolerance is tied to an understanding of liberty that forces us to overthrow our tradition in order to buy the ticket to enter in to the society in which we belong. That understanding, here tolerance is grounded in value individualism, that the sole center of what is valuable to our society is the individual and his desires. Okay? And when this value is tested, the foundation of what is considered, you know, liberty, at the foundation of what is considered tolerance, we understand why we have the tension between liberalism and Islam. It's because as Muslims, what I understand is that we don't put the value of our tradition at the heart of our tradition is not the individual and his desires. And freeing those desires from the authorities of religious authority. What is at the heart of Islam is other virtues that we celebrate, many of which Sheikh Nawab mentioned at the beginning, which he started it off, which was patience, which was yaqeen, which was belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhlas. These are the virtues that we embody in trying to establish a community. And what I'm trying to show is that in a society where the individual, right, and his desires are what is trying to be unleashed against the authority of religious authority, it's very hard to bring to that debate these virtues. And if we don't take account of that, then we will obviously fall short at some point. So I wanted to move to trying to see what kind of solutions we have at our disposal after identifying this problem. And Tariq Ramadan, which is, as all of you know, is a very prolific speaker in the public sphere, he has talked about certain solutions, and my time is running out, so let me just quickly conclude by saying that his proposal is that we approach the issue of tolerance, approach the issue of liberty, not comprehensively. That means that we do not buy into all the understandings of what that understanding of liberty buys. We shouldn't buy into that concept of liberty and its demand on human nature. We should just talk about it politically and socially, that we should maintain our values. And he has a more detailed account, but maybe we can flesh it out when we do the panel discussion, if you're interested in seeing the kind of solutions that are out there. But one more thing I wanted to say before ending is that one of the things that are very important is that we have a discussion around these issues between the ulama and mufakkirun, the people who are involved in studying Western culture, and the ulama who bring out the values from Western culture. And this conversation has to happen around these issues, these principles, which is like tolerance and liberty, what these really mean from our tradition, in order to enlighten ourselves for the context of the living. Thank you very much.